spent some time in the book of James. If I pose this question, I said, what if you had the ability to speak yourself back on track? Or what if you had the ability to speak yourself off track? Right? So I don't think that we have special powers. I'm not going to say that we do. I know that we have spiritual gifts, and I understand what the Word says. So I want to look closely at what the Word does say about what comes out of our mouth and how important that is to the direction that we're going. Because we've been talking about positioning and direction. We've got some things. So I'm just going to read a little bit of James today. I'm going to start 1:21. He said, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word which is implanted, which is able to save your soul. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers of the word that delude themselves. For if anyone was a hearer of the word but not a doer, he's like a man that looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he looks at himself and had gone away, he immediately has forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one that looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." James 3, 1 through 18, the tongue is a fire. This is a message that kind of speaks to me every day. And I hope that it can reach out to you guys by the time we're done with it. It gets pretty strong, but don't be discouraged. He says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for knowing that such will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. But if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put bits in horses' mouth so that they obey and we direct the entire body, or look at the ships, though they are great, they are driven by such strong winds, they're still directed by a very small rudder, wherever indication the pilot desires. So also is the tongue, a small part of the body, but yet boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the word from the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members, in which defiles our entire body. It sets the course of fire to our life, but is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird and reptile, creatures of the sea, tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, but we curse our brother and man, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth both blessing and cursing. My brother, this should not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh water." That's such a strong, strong message to understand how important it is to me, right, to us, to realize what's coming out of my mouth at all times. So we don't realize just how important it is that he says the battleship in the middle of the ocean going against the big waves, but it's the small rudder that steers the ship in the direction that the captain tells it to go. And that's his reference in saying that our tongue is very much like that rudder, and that we are the captains. And when we allow that rudder to flutter, it's going to send us in the direction that it wants to go. Amen. But we got to think of how important that is. You know how easy we get frustrated and let off steam, or say things that we shouldn't say, or allow things to go on a day, you know, right? Are we speaking negativity or frustration into that situation, or are we speaking truth? And I want to look a little bit closer. He says, "If anyone himself thinks he is religious but yet doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, for this man's religion is worthless. Our goal is to keep oneself unstained by the world." So here it is that we're surrounded by chaos regularly, right? Normally we're surrounded by chaos. I go to work, I'm at the plant, I'm at the building. I'm in all different places. You know, I'm at my own shop. We're working on cars. You know what happens when guys get around each other too long, right? Well, you're familiar with that, right? Football games, working at work, and things like that. We don't think about that. We're just comfortable. We're relaxed. We're talking crazy, picking on each other, things like that. But the reality of it is how far am I willing to go? Is it going to pull me back in? I've heard many different people speak on saying changing your environment, right? Changing your environment. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good judgment, right? So the more I'm surrounded by this pool of whatever's not godly, the more I'm tempted by it or tempted through it. Amen? It's so easy. Like, I know we all got family members that we could really just smack the breath out of sometimes, right? But you know, when their name comes up, do we chop them down still today? Or do we just say, hey, God love them and let them go? You know what I mean? I've caught myself. You know, somebody bring up somebody specific's name. I'm Yo Samity Salmon. But then I think to myself, you know, is that really what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I showing that love? Am I staying on track? You know, because if this guy speaks the word of God, but he doesn't follow the word of God, then how far off am I? Amen? Right? He said, but, you know, teachers, be warned. There's a stricter judgment for you. That's not fair, right? So we're thinking about this. In Philippians, he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights of the world. So how can others see the light when we put it out? Amen? Right? If they're bringing the darkness and we're the ones holding the light, but we accept the darkness and don't shine the light, how are they going to see the light? But I love that he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. You know, I got teenagers in my house. I don't know if you're familiar with 16-year-old people, but no matter what you tell them, you're going to hear about it. No matter what you say, you're going to hear about it. But I always think, you know, am I that guy when I'm at work and I get a task or I've done something and they push it back on me, or I catch something that I know ain't really even my job, but do I just take it and roll with it? Or am I grumbling and grumbling and grumbling and grumbling? Because I know that when I delegate something, the last thing I want to hear is kickback. Amen? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, we don't want it. If we delegate it, we don't want it back. We've given it to you. We know you can handle it. I don't want to hear how rough it is. I don't want to hear how hard it was. I don't want to have to pat you on the back every single time you accomplish something. I've given you something to do. Amen? Right? Right? So I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy either. You know, so I want to know if you're giving things to me, or if you're coming to me, or if it's something for me that I need to stay pure. And it says that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation. Do you think that God's unaware of what we're surrounded by? Right? Not to mention our past, of what we came from, everything we've been through, where we are today, where we're hoping to go. He's not unaware of these things. Amen, right? He's very aware and loves us just the same, remember? He said, come as you are, right? I will give you rest, is what he said. Amen? Come as you are. He knows that we're surrounded. Romans chapter 3, I got another verse in here I want to share with you guys. Romans chapter 3, 10 through 18 says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we all are already charged with both Jews and Greeks that are all under sin. And it's written that there's none righteous, none, not even one. There's none that understands, for there's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There is none who does the good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison asps from their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and in the path of peace we have not known, for their fear of God is not known in their eyes. For we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed, and that all of the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, though through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And there's twofold thing that I really want to touch on as far as this verse is concerned. We could spend the whole rest of the night just figuring this out, but their throat is an open grave. Their tongues keep on deceiving. The poison asps from under their lips, whose mouth are full of cursing and bitterness. Now, I want to ask myself today, does this sound like me, right? Does this sound like me? And if it does, do I want that for me? Amen? Do I want that in my life? Do I want that for my children? Do I want that in my future? Amen, right? Yes or no? Right? Because if this is what he's saying is wrong, and this is how he labels those who were not subjecting themselves to the law, but I see this within me, but then later it says, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Now, here's the thing about that. If I've been convicted in my heart, then it's time to listen. Amen? If I'm doing things today that are along the lines of these things, maybe God's bringing me to that next step. Because he says that we all start on milk, right? Milk, meaning that the babies start on milk, but soon they go to rice and then they go to meat, right? So we're talking about growing in our Christian life. And there might be a part of my life where I'm unaware of these things, but then when God reveals them to me, by making me accountable in my conscience when I know that I've done it, then I'm called to grow in that direction. Amen? Right? Does that make sense?
Amen.
So Romans 2:23 says, "You who boast in the law, through your breaking of the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." So it's like, I call myself a Christian today, and I think about the third commandment that says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain," right? The third commandment. But typically, normally it's written off and people are going to say, "Oh, well, I just don't say Jesus Christ when I'm angry, or I don't yell God damn it at the kids anymore, or I don't do those things." And then that's taking the Lord's name in vain. But I don't think that's enough. Like, to me, I think that taking the Lord's name in vain is telling you that I'm a Christian man and then doing non-Christian things. Amen. Right. Right. To me, it'd be like, this is my presentation, this is what I care about, this is what I stand for, but then I do the other things that don't stand for this. You know, that would be, to me, not being on track. And and that's what we always talk about. Going to church on Sunday for 2 hours is phenomenal. Coming to group on Monday night for an hour and a half and staying in a group of people is exceptional. But if my Christian ethics is to be spent and grown for 2 hours of 168 hours, then what happens to 166 hours of that week? Amen, right?
Yeah.
Right? And I think about that like a phone battery. Like, you know, we're connected to these stupid things these days. I don't know what I do without this stupid thing. But it charges every single night, right? It charges. And if I think about myself, like, I'm only charging myself for 2 hours on Sunday, and I go do whatever I want for the rest of the week, who am I deceiving? Amen, right? I'm deceiving me, right? Not you, because I'm the one that's going to be accountable. What the verse says, so because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified by his sight. So there's nothing that I could do to ever make this right. That's the first thing I need to understand. There's nothing that I could ever do to make it right. I can only accept his grace through salvation in Christ, then be justified by the law. Amen? Right, so understanding that, you know, I'm not special. There's nothing about me special. I mean, maybe I am now because God loves me, and I don't know why. Amen. Right, this weird change that he's putting in my life and the life of my family, which is trickling down on my kids, that I can't even explain gratitude to. You know, but and I think about this that there's nothing that I can do, but through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So here he is again in my conscience, growing me in that next direction. So what am I called to do? When I'm in position and I'm convicted, then I gotta accept that and grow. I gotta accept that and grow. And I know that the reality is many of us have many different things that we're struggling with regularly. Amen. Right? And then Elaine talked about something earlier. She said, "Man, I had a vision. I think I found out what one of my issues are." And earlier we're talking about, well, now that we put it on the table, we can look at it. Okay, why is this? Why is that? Why is this? What does the scripture say about that? What if I just start pulling that big problem apart piece by piece because I've got it in front of me? Amen. The next thing that comes to light, I don't want to hide it from you. I want to put it on the table. Hey, here's my name. I'm Ben. I got a lot of defects. Here's defect number one. What are we going to do about it? Amen. Right? That's the way we got to look at these things. So we're going to get slightly back on track. I'm sorry. He says in Proverbs, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life, but the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And I think ultimately we're all called, like Marcus said earlier, he said, I knew that I needed to be here today. I think that's awesome. That's good news, right? The Spirit speaks to him and says, you need to be here today. I think he spoke to me too, because the flesh man was 17 reasons as to why I wasn't. And Pam shaking her head at me earlier over attendance, right? But you think about it, he said, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. How many of us would like just a little bit more time right now? Amen. To get this back on track, or to stay on track, or to relinquish this direction to the ones beneath us. Right? Amen. How many of us have dependents or people that are dependent on, or that we're directly connected to, that are watching your spiritual walk right now? Right? Amen. How important is it for you to be on track right now for them? Amen. Yes? Right? So he said, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Does anybody not understand that? Matthew 12 says, verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you bring evil and speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. Good treasure, good. Evil treasure, evil. And I say to you, that every careless word that a man shall speak shall render account for in it the day of judgment. And that's tough. I was thinking earlier, it's like, you know, just maybe a small intro. Can we think of something that we wish that we had never said? Is there something throughout this lifetime period that we know happened that one day and we just wish we could take that back? You know? We wish that we could take that back. Usually we can remember occurrences of things that we've said to people or have done in time or whatever it may have, and we want to take that back. But the real question is, how many things that I say that I'm unaware of, right? How many things have I said in the course of living in the perverse and crooked generation as one of anybody who had no idea, amen, right? And just planted all them seeds and planted all them seeds. And he says here that how can you bring evil if you speak what's good? For the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. Good, good, bad, bad. So let's break it down and make it simple. Here I am today. If I'm not guarding what's coming out of my mouth and I'm allowing negativity to come out. Everybody work with one of the people that are just negative all the time, negative all the time, negative all the time. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. You work with them guys? Do you enjoy that? Mm-mm. No. No. And I don't want to be that guy either. And I don't want to wake up. And I know I say this a lot, but you wake up at the alarm clock. The alarm clock's going off. You hate the alarm clock. It's 5:30 in the morning. You don't want to get up. It's cold. It's snowing in spring. You know what I mean? We can come up with reasons to be frustrated all the time, but we're not going to speak that negativity, because what he's saying here is through the man's mouth, his belly is full, right? So if I'm speaking negativity, that means that I'm reaping negativity. Amen? So earlier when we were thinking, like, what if we could speak a change in our life? Maybe not, you know, we speak it and then we see it at 9 p.m. maybe not. But what if we made a solid decision to say, no matter what comes out of my mouth, it's going to be positive. So that whatever I do, if I'm going to reap what's coming out of my mouth, I'm going to make sure that whatever's coming back to me is positive as well. Amen? Right? So that whatever a man speaks, then his tummy's full. I know for a fact we got more verses on that. He says, it's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted in you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for with it will lead to further ungodliness. So if I'm being sucked in, because I mean you guys know how it is. This is reality. I'm trying to be a geek or a dork right now, but at the end of the day, like if there's gossip and chatter and things going on, that's really it's like, is it venial? Could be venial. But in reality of it all, do I want to plant negativity in my future? So I don't. And I don't want to really get involved with that either. So, I mean, I know that I picture, you know, soap opera ladies and things like that. I'm sorry. But I think about, like, gossiping and all this, you know, chatter, 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 chatter. That stuff's really just chopping each other down. There's no benefit from any of that. And I know that guys are guilty of that, too. But at the end of the day, I don't really have a good situation. I know that any kind of – he's warning him. And he's saying it's not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but that what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. I wonder, what's the bait today? Is the bait somebody that you never got along with? Is it the bait that somebody you never got even with? What's the bait? You know, what is it that's going to pull you in to get involved in empty chatter, to pull you off your game, right? In 1 John, he says, everyone who practices sin practices lawlessness, but sin is lawlessness. And you know that he appeared in order to take away the sins. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Ecclesiastes says, words of the mouth for the wise men are gracious, while the lips of the fool consume him. The beginning of his talking is folly, and at the end of the wickedness is madness, yet the fool multiply his words. And, you know, and I always think of, like, that's just his way of saying running his mouth. You know what I mean? Like, you hear people running their mouth. Odds are that's worthless information. Amen, right? I can think of times when I got angry and I might have been running my mouth, and I can tell you that probably wasn't positive information, right? Yes or no? I mean, I'm familiar with this. But our actions is what's important when we're thinking about this. In Luke, he says, for there is no good tree that produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree that produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For the men do not gather figs from thorns. They do not pick grapes from the briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of the good things from his heart bring forth that which is good. For the evil man out of the evil treasure of that which is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? That's such a powerful message for me to think that I just don't want to be contrary to the word of God, right? In my walk, I'm called to want to be in line with the gospel. Amos 6:6, I think. Can two walk together if they not be in agreement? Can two walk together if they're not in agreement? Yes or no? Right? So God says, here's my way. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, period. Here is my way. But if I'm not in agreement with him, can I go that way? Right? Which is another reason why I find myself on my knees in the evening. And I just wonder, you know what, you know, and I think about Paul in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7 or Romans chapter 14. And he says, you know, who am I that does the things that I don't want to do? What is it that's within me that does these things? Why am I the one who wants to do good, do the things that are not good? What is this within me that causes me to do these things? You know, and I think that it's just beautiful that God's grace is there for us. Amen. They won't understand that. It said in the verse, it said that his grace abounds all the more. Why does he say that? It's because we're imperfect people. Right. Does that make it okay? No. But it does give us an opportunity to stay on track. Amen. The key is accountability here. I need to be accountable to everything that comes out of my mouth. Right? I want to live that guy. I want to be that guy. Amen. Some of us that have grown in their faith have begun to see change in our lives. Our relatives, friends, family, and children look at us in different ways. And I can visibly testify to that. Amen. I can testify to that. And it's different, but I just want to be that guy, right? You want to be that right mom for your children. You want to be that right dad, that right granddad, right? You want to be accountable. Well, here's the key. In 2 Timothy, he says, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away from the ears of the truth, will turn into myths. So, and when I think about this, like cultural discussions versus the authentic Christianity, would you really even want to be here if I wasn't going to share with you the absolute truth? I wouldn't want to be. Amen, right? Would you ever want to enter into a contract or an agreement where they're not going to be fully open with you on what you're signing? No. No. So I would rather hear the tough news today. Amen, right? Right? I would rather you discipline me or crack me down a little bit or shake me up a little bit, because I know that's the truth. And he said that a time's going to come when they don't really want to hear it. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, and I don't intend to chop anybody down, but I've seen entire ministries where they have never once spoken about conviction, period, ever. Ever, period. It just feels good. Everything's good. Everything's good. Good, 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 good. Good, good. Get you 2 hours in. All right, guys, good luck. But that's not it. You know, amen? That's not it. That's not where we're at. Titus says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable, disobedient, worthless for any good deed. You know, Indian proverb says, once you cut off someone's nose, there's no point in offering them a rose to smell. And the reality is, you know, I've met so many people. I've talked to so many people about faith in general. And I can't tell you how many of those people were jaded by their elders when they were coming up, when they were little. And they just misrepresented the faith, the love. They didn't show the love of God. They didn't preach the gospel. They didn't talk about, you know, accepting anyone and everyone. Come all ye that are weary, and I will give you rest. Anybody and everybody, right? All of us being equal, but it was jaded and changed because their representation of their faith was whatever it was. So that situation they went through all of a sudden became God's fault. Amen, right? Right, and they can't get past that. They can't look at it. It's just going to be God's fault. But that's an imperfect person sharing their viewpoint of tradition rather than faith. Because here's the word. For anyone and everyone that can contest it or want to understand it, I ask first, did you read it? Amen? Did you apply it? Right? Amen? Right? Because if you can't contest it, if you don't know it, amen? Right? But It might take away all the things that I have. And I know that I lived that way for a long time. I had all these thoughts in my head that I knew in the background that he was there. I knew he was there. But I'm going to get right someday. I'm going to get there someday. Lord, I'm going to get there, but not today. I got other things I got to do. And I put it off and put it off and put it off. And praise God, I got hit all the way over the head and sat down for 5 years. Amen. Right? Praise God. Best thing that ever happened to me. Well, when I got knocked off my feet and lucky enough to be one of the ones to sit down for 5 years and come home. I got a pamphlet with my buddy's obituary, who was one of my direct friends who was found shot in the head in his car downtown after I was gone for 24 months. That was one of my best friends. Half my other friends, now some of my friends are returning here, which is one of the most beautiful things I could ever imagine. You would have never thought that my group of people would turn to the Lord or even be a part of the Lord or even speak the gospel. But God is so powerful in so many ways that with him, nothing is impossible. Amen? Amen. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you've been from. If God wants to use you, you will be in position. Amen. I heard a real powerful speaker one day say, run if you want to. Run if you want to, because God is everywhere. David's Psalms, he says, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue, that I will guard my mouth as if with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. And then, you know, we all know that David, he was a man of God. He was a man after the heart of God. And what he was saying is, I will guard my mouth as if I'm wearing a muzzle. Amen. He's just saying, I'm not speaking evil into my future. And I know, and I wish that it was in here, but it's not. In Proverbs, he says, with the man's mouth, he will speak but his belly will be satisfied. And I can paraphrase it. Oh, look at that. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. I want to read it again. I'm just saying, you know, it's so powerful that we understand that everything that's coming forth from us is coming back to us. And if we take anything home today, then we make a decision that tonight, tomorrow morning, I am not going to allow frustration. I'm not going to allow need. I'm not going to allow challenges to speak negativity into my life. Amen. I'm going to speak positivity, because if God said with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied, he will be satisfied with the product of his lips, then I can tell you this. The one thing that's going to come out my lips is praise God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray.